Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Hey, I want to say something at the beginning. I'll try to say at the end so there's no misunderstanding. A lot of times it's hard to remember throughout the whole sermon what, you know, all the things that are said. We sang a song today, Move of God. And, people may say, well, I thought Jay, you know, doesn't say like he wants revival. I've never actually said that. What I've said is, though, we need to go. We don't need to stay waiting for revival. But how many know that there are fresh moves of God? You need both. And if you look in the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. They would go and they would do their thing. They would come back into the room and they would cry out to God for more. And he would fall and the Holy Spirit would come and they'd go back out and do it. And so we need a move of God. I don't want anybody to be misunderstood, like, are we switching back and forth? No, I've always believed we need more of God. I'm going to share some things today that'll hopefully stir you in wanting more of God, because there are some places in the world right now that are experiencing moves of God. But they're happening different than often we expect. It may happen one way in one place. You know, we have had specific moves of God. Like, if you think of Pensacola was a very unique move of God, and Toronto Airport. Pensacola was really about salvation. Toronto Airport was about the Father Heart of God. Really, Bethel has been in a move of God, which signs and wonders, and they really have kind of gone after heaven coming to earth and what that looks like. And so God's doing different things around the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question, though, before I jump into the series part. How many love to wait? Really? Does anybody actually love to wait? Like, you get to a red light and you're like, yes, right? You get to the doctor's office and it's packed. We're not people of waiting. We're really not people that love to wait. I think of Christmas. If you have young kids in here, there's a lot on this side. Christmas is going to come. We used to sleep. We called it sleeping under the tree. It was really sleeping by the tree. If one of our daughters had the way, we'd probably still be doing it. I'm not looking at that daughter. We have a Christmas girl in our family, loves Christmas. That was one of our highlights when the kids were growing up. But you know, when the kids wake up on Christmas Day, how many know that they're not ready to wait? And yet the first thing I would do, I'm like, guys, we're not yet. It's 6 in the morning or 5:30. I need a coffee, so hold on. So I'd go up and get a coffee. You know, if you try to sit them down and do the Christmas story, their eyes are on the gifts, right? They do not want to wait. They want to dive in. We're not a culture of waiting. And if you think over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 100 years, you name it, we have learned to wait less and less. So for example, if you were to travel from the East Coast to the West Coast before there were even trains invented, it would take you months if you even survived the travel, right? Now we jump on a plane in New York and we can go all the way out to San Francisco in a matter of hours. You know, some people actually have meetings and go back. Think about that difference, how much of a change that is. You think about roads being built and how that has affected things. The invention of fast food, right? We used to go to sit down, and when you would sit down, there was this beautiful thing that would happen. There was this waiting period before even the waitress would come to you. Waiter, waitress. And what do you do during that time? You communicate, you talk, you have this conversation, you know it's gonna be there, so you talk. It's amazing, nowadays, a lot of times you'll see people pull out their phones. We're not accustomed to waiting, we're not accustomed to communicating. And now you have fast food where we drive through and we're like, if I don't have my meal in 3 minutes, I'm angry. Really, right? Like, we have become accustomed to a very fast-paced culture. You may not realize it, but you're a part of that too. Everywhere we go, we're expecting quick results. Coffee, right? You go to you think about it. You say one thing in a window and you pick up your coffee or coffees. The sad part of it is that, you know, this is a little aside, but it really is, we pick up our coffee. Often people go and drink their coffee in the car alone, or when coffee was developed, really, if you look at some of these European countries, what did they do? They sit together. You have coffee. British would stop and have tea. It was a communication thing. It's a shame. My point is this, though, that we have lost the ability, or we are losing the ability, to know what it means to wait. I want to touch on that today. We are about to celebrate Christmas. How many are excited? You know, Christmas is, you know, of course, in North America where it's gifts, but it's family. I love my joy. I tried to teach the kids this at a young age. We love to get together with family. We love when they come or we go, depending. We're hosting this year, so they're coming our way. I love it. I love family. There's something unique about it. We have our own culture, and I'm sure you guys have your unique things too, which, by the way, does anybody hide a pickle in their tree? Pickle? Raise your hand if you hide a pickle in your tree. Where did that come from? German. Okay, that is a thing. It's a real thing. We thought it was just a one family thing, and then they went to Frankenmuth and found pickle. I'm like, where does that? You hide a pickle in the tree, and the first person to find the pickle gets an extra gift. Is that what it is? An interesting culture thing. We used to hide baby Jesus. You know, we'd wrap him, and the first one to open him won. I don't know, now it's a pickle, so we've come down a long way. You know, it's interesting that we're going to celebrate Christmas. I want to set a stage for you. I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I really do believe that we are on and already in a greater move of God season. I really do believe that. Even some of the things that we've seen around here, we've had more guests come through our doors in the last year than we've had in a long time. You may say, there's not a lot, but more is more than before. Mary was a great reminder at prayer that you're reminding me. I had forgotten about people that were coming into our coffee to get coffee before church started. They weren't coming to church. They were just coming to get coffee, which was a precursor to having guests come in, which is phenomenal. Sometimes we have to see with our eye what God is doing, not what he's not doing. I tend to see what he's not doing. God's trying to change me to see what he is doing. Amen to that. Okay, we have to see what he is doing and not get discouraged what he's not doing. So I would spend a lot of time in recently, I'll be truthful with you, I would spend a lot of time with my prophetic words or prophetic words over the church, and I was building anger towards the Lord. I was getting a little resentful. I was getting angry. I was getting confused. I'm like, Lord, all these words, you know, 2016, I had one, and it was very specific. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so far away from that word right now. Like the church, not the move of God. It was a specific thing about a workforce. I'm like, I'm so far away from that word. And I'm getting angry and confused. And then this message dropped on me. And so I'm hoping it'll help you. And Pastor Rod, I had a lot of this, and then I listened to your word. I was trying to go back and catch up, and I'm like, dang, that's part of my word, which you didn't even have a chance to prepare for. So this must be God. Turn in your Bibles to the very last book of the Old Testament. Anybody know what it is? Malachi. Remember Bill Johnson saying that, the only Italian prophet, Malachi. Turn to Malachi. What's that? It was only a one-time thing. Maybe it didn't go over so well. Turn to Malachi. It's the very last book of the Bible. And turn to chapter 4 in Malachi. In Malachi 4, verse 1, this is the very last book of the Bible, Old Testament. And we're going to read the last chapter of the last book in the Old Testament. It says, for behold, the day is coming. When you hear something like that, what do you think? Behold, the day is coming. If I were to tell you today, behold, Christmas is coming, you're like, it's a week and a half. Oh my goodness, a week and a half away. Behold, Christmas is coming. You're like, yeah, I know, a week and a half away, right? We have a perspective of how long time is. Behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. I'm really thankful for the New Testament prophecy that we get. Verse 2, But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall fat calves. You shall trample the wicked, for you shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's a lot there, and we're not going to dissect that, but what I want you to see is that it starts with, behold, the day is coming. Do you know how long it was before that verse, and specifically because that verse 6 talks about and is quoted by Jesus that was Elijah or John the Baptist who came like Elijah to restore the hearts of the fathers? It's quoted in several places. Do you know how long it was before that day came? Over 400 years, 430 years before that day came. That's between 15 and 20 generations before they saw that word fulfilled. That's a long time. Anybody else want to agree? That's a long time. If I heard that word and the day was coming, I'm like, because this is what I've done with my words. I look at them and I read them and I'm like, that day's coming. Next week, God's going to do this. And these people are like, that's somebody's great, 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 I didn't count, but grandfather. You know what I mean? It's a long time. Multiple generations before they saw that. It gets even better. Hey, turn with me. Let's turn with me to Jeremiah. Let's do Jeremiah. There's a whole bunch of Jeremiah, but let's do Jeremiah 23. We'll start there. I always forget to bring another Bible. But I like, don't you love your Bible when you mark it all up? It's so hard to do that on a phone. I've tried. Jeremiah 23. And then you get a new Bible and you know it's on a different page and you're like, but it used to be on this page. This page. Jeremiah 23, and let's look at 5-6. Jeremiah 23, 5-6. Behold, the days are coming. Perfect, the days are coming that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is a messianic prophecy. It's both fulfilled quickly, but it's fulfilled. The Lord, our righteousness, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, turn to Jeremiah 33. We'll stay in Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah 33. Verse 14. 33 verse 14 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. To understand that, you actually have to go back into prophecies that are older than that prophecy, because he says, I'm going to do what I promised. Following me? Okay, that Jeremiah, when he was prophesying, was 582 years before Jesus came. That's a long time. A long time that they waited to see these things fulfilled. You go back to 430 years, they call it the time of silence where nobody prophesied. I could go on, I'm not gonna do all of them, but it's interesting, even if you wanted to know, I'll tell you, I didn't write it down for 2 Samuel, but it was a crazy amount of years between 2 Samuel. There's a whole bunch of messianic prophecies and you can go through. Why am I saying all this? So let's go to Jeremiah. In the days of Jeremiah, when he prophesied this, that the days are coming, and if I were listening to that, I would have been excited. Do you know how many things happened between the time that Jeremiah prophesied and the time that Jesus came? What I want to try to help understand, and one of the things for the culture of ascent, is that I want to have eyes to see with Maybe I'll say it this way, non-apocalyptic thinking. Because the North American church is apocalyptic thinking. And we're very now thinking. So if it doesn't happen in our time, or if it doesn't happen to us, it must be the end. And we've been trying to wipe this out. I don't know when the end is, and there will be a day when Jesus comes back in his second coming. But the point I want to make is often we think with our narrow and North American blinders. And if it's not happening, it's not going to happen. Recently, like I said, I've come across this gentleman. It was just a random thing in a podcast, because I don't really know what's going on in England and Britain and all that. Only to find out in England that they're having an incredible renewal and revival among young people. And we often think, well, it's not happening in North America, so it must be we're getting down to the end. Well, they're not thinking that way. They're preparing for the future. They're actually preparing young people to go, there is a moment that's going to come upon us where we need to step into places and leadership so we can help turn things. The world right now is in a place where you can feel it. People can feel it. There's an unsettledness in the world right now. Christians often think, well, the world's going to end because we feel this. But non-apocalyptic thinking should be saying, this moment should get us ready to step into what is next. And we want to be a people, a kairos moment. You know, we're looking at the clock thinking this is the end. Chronos, but it's a kairos weekends ago. Let me give you an example. The past 2 weekends ago, a major moment in history happened that maybe some of you don't even know. If you've been following the news, I just happened to catch it coming back from vacation. There was a family in Syria that had been in control for 53 or 54 years. And they were dictators, and it was one of the most vicious tyrants, dictators around. In 2011, they tried to have an overthrow. They started a civil war. Since 2011 in Syria, 100,000 plus people have been killed. Horrific. They're getting reports now because these prisons are being emptied. In 2011, they called it the Spring Uprising. They tried to have peaceful demonstrations to say, listen, we need a change in government. This is terrible, the government, like we would politically as well. And in 2011, because of that, what he did, this is the son, what he did was he found and rounded up all those people and threw them into prison and tortured them and killed them, most of them. Some of them were tortured for years. I read some of the counts and I had to stop because it's torture that your mind literally cannot fathom. Your mind can shut down from, like, I don't know how somebody can survive that. Horrific. Since 2011, it was bad under his father. In 2011, with this uprising, he went to a whole nother level. Here's what's interesting. In one weekend, he was removed and completely kicked out. He fled. But what's interesting is from 2011 until 2024, they had been fighting and fighting. There was nothing to be seen that made it look like he was going to be overthrown. It wasn't like they were massing the truth. Like, everybody's like, how did this happen? It was a kairos moment, where all of a sudden the rebels came in and boom, he's gone and he's out. And now, can you imagine being in prison for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, being tortured every day, and all of a sudden the door opens and they're like, you're free. Can you imagine? Like, you see them and they are weeping. And these are not like terrorists that are coming out. These are regular people that simply went and tried to protest the government and say, tell the world, this is not good. We need a change in government. And they were thrown in prison. Instantly in a weekend, everything changed. But here's my point. What's going to happen in the next few weeks and months, I don't know what is ready in that moment in Syria. I don't know who's ready. I don't know what's ready, but there's a moment right now, a kairos moment, where somebody can come in and begin to turn that nation for the better. Or somebody can come in and it becomes worse than it was. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. The world will watch. But I believe right now there is a move of God that is getting us ready, because there is the feel in the earth. There's an unsettledness, and God wants people to go, I'm going to get ready for whatever God calls me to do. Like, I don't know what it's going to be for you, and I don't know what it's going to be for me, but all I know is that we should be ready for what God wants. So I'm watching this movement in England that's happening, and what's remarkable is, and this is one of several churches, but this is a Anglican church, and this is, you know, you think Anglican around here, it's a little different in England, but it's still a very more traditional church. Because I heard this guy, and he was talking about a move of God and revival, and I thought, I want to check this church out. So I'm watching him worship. I'm waiting for them to pull back the camera, and I'm watching, and these are new young people coming to know the Lord, and so they're still fresh, and they're just, some of them have their hands up, some of them don't, but this is what's happening. It's not, I wish I could remember the four things, but he said it is suddenlies that are happening. It's one of the words that he used. And he said, these are not just a quick fire in the pan. These people are being changed, radically changed, and then getting involved in the kingdom of God. So it's not just like, oh, I had a good weekend, now I'm going back. Like, these people are getting on fire for God. Let me tell you why I think God is moving and why we want a move of God. And I often remember you guys talking about the charismatic renewal. These are where you work every day, which we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spread the gospel. And sometimes it can be hard, and you ask and four or five times and they don't come. And maybe you get somebody to come out, and all of a sudden God's freshness blows in the moment. And people are like, yes, I'll come to church. Or better yet, they're asking you, can I come with you to church? Let me tell you some stories that are happening. They had one young man that came to their church. They are inviting people, but people are showing up, literally showing up. So this young man was a complete atheist. And he went out partying one night, and he was partying. They were walking around. I guess it was a large park that they were in the night before. And he had a watch. It was an heirloom. It was really important to him. And some point that night when they were drunk and messing around, he lost the watch. And so the next day he went out and he said, I searched that whole park. I looked, it's going to be pretty hard to find that watch. And so he looked and looked and looked. And when he got done, he stopped and he said, I'm an atheist. He said, all right, God, if you're real, show me the watch. And he said, he looked down and the watch was between his feet. You know what he did? He picked up the watch and found the nearest church and went and got saved. Yeah. And this guy is like, he said, he got saved, he got baptized, he took an Alpha program, got to know the Lord, and he is on fire for God. Like, that's a fresh moment in God. But he had story after story. He shared of another girl, I can't remember her name. She was actually born without a spine. Pretty tragic. And so she, I don't know how that works, came in one day at a prayer meeting, and you got to remember, I'm looking at these pictures. They're not like young people going, we're fire for God. I need prayer. Young people, pray. Okay, we'll go pray. You know, and they pray. So they prayed for her because she's like, I need prayer. She went back to the doctors and she said all her pain is gone and she's an inch and a half taller. And she, after that, got completely saved. You can imagine why. They never mentioned if she got a spine and how that works. I don't know. But they said that she got a healing. Another young man who was a Christian began to get strung out on cocaine. He got into hard stuff. He was just going through a tough time. He walked into a prayer meeting one day. It doesn't say that he was invited. He walked into a prayer meeting. While he was there, he was instantly set free. And since then, he's gotten saved, on fire for God. Like, and this is what, you know, when that person sent me the song, I began to look at it. I'm like, you know what? We need a move of God. We're not going to wait. We're going to keep going and doing what we're called to do every day. But I would like to hear a lot of those stories happening here. What about you? Because we're in a season right now where it is tough plowing, where it is, it seems more difficult at times right now. And I'm like, Lord, we would love for you to blow on this house and that house and in this area. What I want to go back to, I feel like there was one more testimony I wanted to share out of that because they were so cool. Oh, yes, Freddie. I don't know who Freddie is. Freddie was another young man who was an atheist. This is so cool. This is happening without them even trying. Freddie goes out and goes onto an overpass because he is depressed. And Freddie's going to commit suicide over an overpass. He's going to jump. He says he went to climb over to jump, and he says, a hand grabbed me and threw me on the ground. There was nobody there. He said, I heard one thing when I landed on the ground, and I heard the name of Jesus. So he said he got up and went to a church. And this gentleman is just, he's talking about people that have come to his church, but they're finding different churches are having the same thing happen. He said he went to that church, got saved, got baptized, is now on fire for God. How many would like to see that among their friends? Now, he'll be the first to tell you, they've been praying, but it's not like this is a Kairos moment. This is something that God is doing. Now, I'm thankful that the prophecies in Jeremiah and all that, those were awaiting the future Messiah. Aren't you glad, like Pastor said, that we are in the days of Messiah? And we don't have to wait for something. We can begin to cry out to God for it to happen while we are still moving forward. I really want you to get that. We still move forward, but we say, Lord, a fresh move of God would be wonderful. I was saying about the prophecies in Jeremiah, it's interesting as I read that because you wonder what happens between these prophecies. Did you know that after he said in the coming days and he began to prophesy about the Messiah coming, did you know that's when Nebuchadnezzar came and took them captive for years? 70 years. And after Babylon was in charge, did you know that Persia came and took overthrew Babylon? Like, this is like overthrow after overthrow, because after the Persians, it was the Greeks came, and then the Romans came. All these things are happening while they patiently waited for the Messiah, the prophecy to come. What I love about it is there was nothing amazing about that season. Like, there was no fanfare. It wasn't like only a few people began to go, oh, like shepherds, like Pastor talked about, Pastor Rod the other day. Shepherds saw something. People were hearing glimpses, but you know it must have not have been a big deal because most people missed it, right? And I think part of me is saying right now, Lord, we don't want to miss what you're doing because you're doing things and we want to give you praise for what you are doing. Because when somebody walks through the door that hasn't been to church, we need to be thankful for that, right? Because God is doing something and we need to be grateful for that. I think equally so, I think the enemy wants to try to get us distracted. He wants to try to get us discouraged because that's the season I've been in. I've been looking at my prophetic words, distracted and discouraged. But now after this, I'm like, well, if Jeremiah can, they can wait 500 and something years. What I'm currently saying as I look at my prophetic words, I'm going, Lord, did I assume that it was for next week, that prophetic word? Is it possible that that prophetic word is about to happen? Because if I'm thinking, wow, I'm further away than I was before, well, that would be a good time for that prophetic word to come into play, wouldn't it? Right? You following me? Some of us have words that we're like, man, I want this word to come to pass, and I'm discouraged because it didn't happen. Or, man, we've all been through seasons where things didn't happen. But what we have to do right now is go, just like the Messiah coming, I'm going to believe that it's about to happen. Amen? Because if it can happen in these churches, it can happen right here.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.